chapter 24, just the previews. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2, 9.
I was thinking about my dogs the other day. Dakota and Maverick are quite a pair. One's an Australian sheepdog, the other's a golden retriever. Dakota more or less rules the roost unless he gets Maverick fired up, and then roles switch pretty quickly. We've owned them for several years now, and we've grown very attached, except when they get gas. Then it's, Dakota, Maverick, out! But that's another story, one that you probably don't want to hear. We love our dogs, but the truth is, they're not very smart. Our dogs are not capable of thought on a human level. They hear, they react, they obey, most of the time. I notice different emotions in them. Love, happiness, jealousy, things like that. But it's obvious their intelligence is far below a human's. They don't understand our reasoning because we are higher beings than they are. They do not understand that the reason I don't want them in the street is that a car might hit them. They only know by trained response that they will be punished if they go there. As I was thinking about our boys, I realized that my relationship with them has some parallels to my relationship with God. For example, I know by now that I am often incapable of understanding God or His purposes for me. His ways are so much higher than mine. As Isaiah wrote, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Many times I don't understand what He is doing in my life. Over time, I have learned to trust Him and believe that His ways for me are for my own good. I no longer get as frustrated as I used to at not being able to comprehend it all. Instead, I do my best to trust what He says. What I have learned already about God, both through the experiences of life and through His Word, tell me that I can trust Him both in the difficult spots and for my future. Repeatedly, Scripture tells us to hang on, to persevere, to endure, to overcome, to remain faithful to the end. And just as often, the Bible promises that we will be amply rewarded if we just stick with God. He doesn't often explain why we suffer, but then again, He doesn't often give us many details on our coming reward. I think He wants us to trust Him for both things. But beyond that, I'm not sure we could understand even if He did explain it to us. I've never tried to explain to Dakota or Maverick why their meals come out of a can, or what would happen to their internal organs should they collide with a moving car. They might lick my face, but they wouldn't understand. I think of an old Far Side cartoon by Gary Larson. The top panel is labeled, "What We Say to Dogs," and shows an angry man threatening his dog. "Okay, Ginger, I've had it. You stay out of the garbage. Understand, Ginger? Stay out of the garbage or else." The bottom panel is labeled, "What They Hear," and features this version of the man's tirade. "Blah, blah, Ginger. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, Ginger. Blah, 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 blah." Ginger didn't get it because she isn't equipped to get it. We're a lot like Ginger when it comes to understanding God's ways. That's why Paul quotes Isaiah so approvingly when he writes, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." We can believe Him when He tells us something unimaginably good is coming our way. But we shouldn't be surprised or hurt if He doesn't give us any more details than He has. Even if He did, we wouldn't get it. I'm afraid I would hear something uncomfortably like, "Blah, blah, 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 David. Blah, 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 David. Blah, blah, blah." So until we can understand, our part is to trust and obey, just as the old hymn instructs us. When we do that, even in the hard times, we can know peace and even joy. Jim Arnaldi has discovered this to be true. Jim was given a terminal prognosis 8 years ago. He has leiomyosarcoma, a rare and deadly cancer of the abdominal cavity. He's already a record breaker, medically speaking, having survived his disease longer than anyone in the books. But I think his spiritual progress is even more remarkable. Jim writes in a letter to one of our staff workers, "I was reminded recently that as Christians, we should remember that our hope is in the promise, not the possibilities. To me, that means that although I can have hope for better health or a successful operation, what I need to rest in is the promise that God will sustain me in all circumstances and provide me a residence in His presence no matter what." I find that people tend to spend much time seeking a way out of a situation rather than pleading with God for a way through it. Since cancer took hold of me, I found that praying for acceptance is far more comforting in the long haul. If we believe that God is sovereign and that all things first pass through His fingers, then do we stand firm in our faith if we suggest that God got the wrong guy when trials befall us? The trials are meant to have application. They provide the classroom for our learning. They are the training ground for our preparedness to serve. We can gain so much from our difficulties. We shouldn't waste time looking for the way out. Haven't we heard so many say, "After much suffering, I've never felt so close to the Lord," or "My spiritual life has grown amazingly"? So we can rejoice in our suffering. We can be thankful in all things and always. Thankful, yes. Joyful, yes. But fully comprehending? Probably not. Someday, perhaps, we will understand why God allows some seemingly inexplicable adversities to enter our lives. 1 Corinthians 13:12 promises us that when we see God face to face, and not as in a poor reflection, we shall know fully even as we are fully known. Of course, we will never be God, and there will always be divine mysteries beyond our ability to comprehend. Yet someday, the things that so perplex and bother us now may become clear, resulting in a vastly greater appreciation and love for the God who has called us His own dear children. In the meanwhile, we can rest in the sure knowledge that God is faithful, and that He has something in store for us that is quite beyond our comprehension. I, for one, am glad He did not try to tell us more than He has. My head is already spinning at the wonders He has revealed, and those are just the previews. Dear Lord, thank You for Your Holy Spirit, who is here with me now as I walk this path of suffering. You said You would send me a comforter, and You did just that. It is He who gives me the strength to keep my eyes fixed on things above. Still, I must admit, there are times when it is so difficult not to think about the things of this world. It is hard for me to realize that this is not all there is to life. Lord, I know that when I am distracted by the things of this world, I have trouble pleasing You with my life. I know that through my suffering, I can be so consumed by what's happening to me that I often fail to see Your comforting hand in the midst of the chaos. Lord, I want nothing more than to know that as I fix my eyes on what is unseen, I am able to see more clearly that You are at work in my life. This issue is far too important not to take seriously. My life is at stake. Better yet, my eternal life is at stake. And Lord, there is no greater promise than the one You have given to those who place their faith and trust in Jesus: eternal life. It is incredible to think that as I fix my eyes on what is unseen, You, no matter what I face here on earth, it shall pass, and I will be with You forever. Amen.